You're listening to the Fresh Tate Network.
What it is, what it do, welcome to Fresh Tate. Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot. I am very privileged to have, from the communications manager from the University Dinos, Lance McKenzie. Hey, Lance. How's it going?
Hey, Josh. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you on here. You and I have worked together now for a year, getting ready to go into a second year together here. But, you're in charge of, one of the top athletic schools in the country. So I figured we get a little bit of a background of your communication skills and kind of going forward with the Dinos and all that. In the past 2 years, you've been attached to them. So let's kind of get into the side of you first before we kind of get into the Dino side of things. On the communication side, what interested you in communications and what piqued your interest to get into that department?
Well, my story kind of started before I even landed in Calgary, to be honest. I was, an avid hockey fan, and I was a season ticket holder for what time was a semi-pro team based in Victoria, my hometown. And
nice.
A couple of years in, I got to a point where I just wanted to be more involved, and I just really had to identify at a young age what maybe would be my way in the door. And so growing up, my mom always managed a camera store. So one of the things I always had access to growing up was Photoshop. And it wasn't until actually I got more interested in sport that I actually found a reason to want to explore that. And so that was, just that time, social media wasn't a big thing, but there was tons of forums where you could have conversations with people about your favorite team or whatnot. So where that kind of marriage came together was, I don't know if you remember, everyone that would have a forum, everyone would have a little signature, and it'd be some kind of piece of art. And so I started making those, and that was a skill set that was helpful. And then the other piece of it was writing for me. I don't think I was ever that good at it, but I was always willing to give it a try. And that was something just through grade school that I had an interest in. So when it came time for me to finally kind of courage up and reach out to the team, they already had a bit of familiarity with me because they knew who my username was and that I was interested in the team and had some skills that maybe they could use. And so I was able to get myself in the door at 15 working for a professional hockey team. And by the time I came to Calgary, that was the start of it all.
So what was that experience working with a professional hockey team at 15?
Eye-opening. It was nice in the sense that my boss at the time had already had a bit of a structure in place. They had a relationship with Cabosun College and their sports management program. So there was already a foundation where I could work with these people and gain some experiences, but I was obviously doing it at a much younger age. So there was just some maturing I had to do to really kind of understand what it took to be in that kind of setting at that age.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a lift of the veil, hey, because you kind of go in, you're a fan of the team, and you kind of want to have more to do with the team and, help produce content and everything like that. And the veil definitely gets lifted going to that type of atmosphere.
Yeah, you learn how the sausage is made for better or not. One of the first things my boss in that role told me was, because he had gotten to know me through the sports forum, see my conversations, he said, you're welcome to continue doing this. I'm not going to tell you not to, but if you're going to, and you're going to represent us, or, there's going to be some kind of relationship there, I prefer that you not absolutely rip us apart or say some really negative things. So, at that point, I was like, I'm done. I want to be part of this. And if any part of that could impact my relationship, I don't want to ruin that. So I was on board right from the get-go. It was a dream opportunity for me.
And then so you take what led you to then, so you have that relationship with the program there, right? And I see you have a few other things, media relations also with the Victoria Shamrocks as well, doing stuff with the Royals. So what was first, before I kind of get to your schooling side, what brought you into the lacrosse side of things, just trying to add more sports to the resume?
Yeah, the Shamrocks opportunity I had was near the end of my undergrad. It was a position where They had a lot of marketing strength, but we're looking for a communications person. I was coming back my last summer before graduating. So that was my first real opportunity to kind of, I guess, run the show for lack of a better word. I was the guy that sending out all the media releases. I was leading the communications versus being the guy leading tactics for someone else's strategy. So really good opportunity there. And yeah, it all kind of stemmed from what I had learned in Calgary, building relationships. I'd done some stuff with the Roughnecks by that point. So there was already some connections there as well.
So you're kind of learning the different side of athletics, right? Between being in hockey and being in lacrosse. Did it, again, I guess it gets to a point too, you know, you kind of dip your toe in being a hockey fan and wanted to be behind the scenes for that. But then it gets to a point of just wanting to do communications for all athletics.
I think it just stemmed from the relationships that I built when I was in Calgary. When I made the decision that I wanted to come back, I'm not sure if that would have ever happened if it weren't for some of the people that I've met while I was in school. When I first started in sport, the team in Victoria, one of the kind of things I had to adjust to in terms of the environment was, the front office kind of had this policy around, you know, the locker room is the player sanctuary. There's kind of a separation between front office and business and the hockey side. And that took me a little while to get used to coming to university because there's a lot more fluidity to it, right? You know, you're going to school with some of the players and stuff. So you start to build those relationships and whatnot. And I was really fortunate that the men's hockey team really brought me in and made me feel part of the family. And that was something I never had an experience like in sport. I wasn't overly involved in playing sport when I was younger. So it really made for a family connection that when I was looking for other opportunities and this one, this full-time role at the university opened up between that and my relationship with Ben Matchett, who's now the athletic director. It was, there was just this this connection that there was no better place for me than here in Calgary.
Yeah, you really hit a great point there, Lance, of, you know, I've had a chance to, you know, play athletics, but even if you don't, you definitely feel in this second life of being behind a broadcast or whatnot, you definitely feel this other team dynamic and sharing with the team. It kind of widens that range. You kind of always hear that saying of, oh, you know, the people outside, they get a ring, and people are like, oh, they get a ring. But you really, unless you're kind of in that position, and now you have, you know, you definitely feel kind of this team dynamic closer to the coaches, some other players and everything like that. It's a bigger overall stretch of the team dynamic than I think people would realize.
Yeah, like it really wasn't about coming back and, it's going to be cool. I get this to do this team. And then, oh, there's all these other teams. I was so married to just the brand and the culture of the Dinos Athletics. It didn't really matter what sport I was going to be around. I knew I was going to be surrounded by great people. And that was such an important part of whatever next step I was going to take was it needed to be a place where I would have a great lifestyle and a good work-life balance.
So what was like the main draw then? You know, we've talked about, you know, having the time in Victoria and everything like that, and your time in Calgary obviously had a great effect of you. Was there other colleges that you had considered, or was there such a draw? You've talked about kind of this Dinos allure that had kind of drawn you there. Was there other colleges there, or kind of what you saw, what the UFC and the Dinos had to offer, you kind of knew right away?
Well, when I finished school, my dream was to really follow that hockey passion. And that was what led me into junior hockey. But when I took that year away from it and worked at Canadian Sport Institute, I wanted to get back into sport and be like kind of like on the ground level and dealing with game ops and, you know, just kind of being part of that experience again. But I don't know if I really would have considered any other school at that point. It wasn't so much about being in university sport as it was, this is a place that would be a perfect fit for me in terms of my career as well as my personal life. I just had so many great relationships here. I had family here at the time. So I just really wanted to get back to Calgary, and this was the best way to do it. And it was the best career option I had.
And I'm going to talk about the Dino Athletic stuff in a bit here, like I said, but you also had some volunteer experience and some time, you know, a short stint for the World Championships for Canada Hockey. And obviously, you know, you've talked so much about, you know, that goal with hockey and wanting to be more in depth with hockey. What was your experience working with Canada Hockey?
So that was when the World Juniors were in Victoria. So I was already working back in Calgary, but when that tournament was coming to my hometown, I wanted to be involved in any way possible. So had some relationships, obviously, with the Royals. A lot of people that were with the semi-pro team in Victoria were now part of that head office. And very cool experience just to see that tournament in Victoria. Obviously, Vancouver was where Team Canada was, and it's a bigger venue, but there were some really cool experiences there. And just you get to see the ins and outs of an organization like IIHF or Hockey Canada, of course, is interesting.
Was there some things that you picked up along there that you hadn't like learned in your kind of time with the Dinos and some of the other organizations you've been with?
I don't think so. At that point, I was pretty pretty seasoned and had a sense of what to expect in terms of that event. I guess the most eye-opening part is when you're hosting an event like that, you rely so much on the volunteers and the people that are actually familiar with the venue in the city. Mm-hmm. So you know, if you're a Hockey Canada staff and you're coming in to host a World Juniors, for example, it's possible that you've never stepped foot in that arena before or know the people that you're going to be at, depending on to do all these things that are going to make you successful. So you do rely on the people who are part of that team or that arena who are there. And it's really, it's a group that has to come together very quickly to pull off a successful event.
Yeah, it seems like that. And that stuff that you learn, right, as you host bigger playoff events, host nationals, hold championships like that, I'm sure that's kind of stuff that you learned for some of those events going forward, right?
Totally. Yeah, we deal with a very similar thing when you're hosting a U Sports Championships where they may have a set of ideas as to how it's going to run, and then you have to try to make that work within your own setting.
So kind of talk to me about like a day in the life. Let's say it's game day for whatever sport, volleyball, hockey, basketball, football. What's a day in the life for you for one of those games as the communications manager?
It varies quite a bit depending on the sport and what else is going on. I think that's one of the biggest differences, that it's hard to grasp if you're maybe a fan of one team or you maybe are used to a one team setting is, when you're with an athletic department, you're potentially having four home games up to maybe 10 events going on at the same time between home and road. And as part of a kind of a one-man shop or a very small marketing communications team, you're trying to balance all that. And while also trying to be strategic too, right? Because there's a level of it that says, you know, we want to support every single team and provide as much equal footing or support to them all. Then there's also the, you know, if you're trying to be strategic or look at, you know, revenue generations too, what are the sports that offer the best opportunities, or where can we create the best experience and really leverage that? So it's a challenge from that sense. But my day is really balanced between a combination of responsibilities, whether it be content and social media, dealing with game night staff, broadcasters, for example, and just really making sure that the whole thing's running. What me and my boss always say is that on a perfect night, we have all our positions filled and our job is to really be troubleshooters. That's not always possible because we know things happen, especially when you're dealing with casual or part-time staff. But in the best world, we're able to sit back, maybe hit things that maybe aren't getting dealt with, or maybe keep an eye on away events. But we're kind of just roaming all over the place, as I'm sure you've seen throughout the past year. You know, I'm never stop moving when it comes to a game.
You're always kind of peeking your head in here and there, and then you're off to the next stop.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned Ben a few times. You know, one of the, you know, a great part of the Athletic, you know, does a great job with everything he does. And a little bit more about your guys' relationship and how that's grown throughout the years.
Yeah, I've been really lucky to work with Ben. For those that don't know Ben Matchett, he's just been around the athletic department for a couple of decades now, moving from events, stats, marketing, communications roles to for spending a number of years as the associate athletic director, and then last summer becoming the university's athletic director. And it's been such a pleasure to have him as a mentor in my life, someone who, when I wasn't with athletics, I could call and ask questions or just talk to but someone who was in my corner as a student trying to learn. That's one of the great things about our setting is that it's really a sandbox for people that want to learn how to get into the field. And Ben did a great job of giving me every opportunity I could to be successful. And, you know, maybe there was other opportunities that I had that provided me the connections I needed to get other jobs, but it was experience that I gained with Ben and Dinos that really allowed me to be successful in those future roles I had.
And then, you know, having that relationship, it had to really come together. What was the pandemic like for you guys? Did you guys have to cancel any games in March of 2020? And then kind of leading up to obviously the unfortunate, I think it was July when it came down that the whole U Sports season would be canceled. Kind of give me the timeline of how everything went for you guys.
Yeah, that was a challenging time, like it was for everyone. That week where kind of the world stopped was as we were getting ready to host the U Sports Women's Volleyball Championship. So each stage of the what came after another felt like we really lived those stages too. Like it was you know, starting to hear all the rumblings about positive cases to the Rudy Gobert to Tom Hanks getting positive, like all those things felt like the triggers in an avalanche. And then it was the next day, it was the games out east because the hockey championships were happening out in Halifax and they had started playing, and then the women's had started playing, and then we were supposed to have a dinner that evening, and then one thing after another. I think one of the big triggers in it all was Hockey Canada pulling their officials from these tournaments, and then obviously how can you run a tournament without refs? So
yeah,
from that those tournaments got postponed or canceled. And then we start to see it trickle down where it was, we're going to play with no fans to the whole tournament's done and our season's over. So we gave ourselves a day. We had to pack up everything, of course, as much as we could. And then took a few days to kind of get a sense of where the world was at. And then we all made some personal decisions, you know, whether like I decided to go back home to Victoria and spend some time there. And, you know, if I was going to be in isolation, I didn't want to do it by myself. So yeah, was glad I did that at the time. And then from there, yeah, just obviously there were staffing decisions, but not necessarily anyone losing their jobs, but just, you know, how are we going to survive this? And what is this next little while going to look like, you know, making sure we were using vacation and anything that we were owed. So we were being as smart as we could so we can continue to operate for as long as we could and provide the services we needed to, because even if we weren't going to be playing games, we still had a certain level of service to provide to athletes, and coaches had jobs to do and everything. So definitely a challenging period. I guess the biggest thing I take out of it is that we're still kind of in the rebuilding phase of getting back to where we were normally. Yeah. And it's surreal as we start to think of, okay, what are the things we're missing that we can do that normal execution that we would, is thinking about all the things that we're trying to create positions for and how those were things that we all just did as a very small team for so long. And it's almost shocking to think about.
And one of the more interesting things about that time for all the universities was this weird kind of double class, right? You had guys, I mean, you had seniors, like a guy like Mason Freeman, for example, on the basketball team. Senior year kind of gets delayed, right? So you have to kind of figure out where you're going to go for classes. Then you have some of these kids that were going to go right in and they have to wait a year. And then you have kind of another class. So recruiting kind of gets thrown all over the place and these roster spots get all thrown into place. And I know some teams were practicing and whatnot, but that whole thing, I can't imagine. It was just a judge. I remember talking to Wade Commel from the Trojans and Aaron McAlena from the UBC and Scott Edwards from U of A, like talking to everybody, some of these coaches, it was just a recruiting nightmare to try to figure how everything was going to land for their rosters.
Yeah, and I think each sport had its own challenges. I think basketball is a great example where you're trying to bring people in and then all of a sudden you lose the season, and some of these kids that you're bringing in are high-level athletes that may have had opportunities in the States. And although it's maybe not the same experience that they're getting in Canada as they are in the States, they're playing games, and that's in a lot of ways the most important thing to a student athlete. They just want to continue to play and get that experience that they were getting in high school and kind of continue to progress and develop as athletes. So There was definitely examples we can all think of where someone made a commitment and then next thing you know, cancellations happened and they're moving on. But then there's other sports. I think of like a soccer where because they're only one semester, well, we were able to bring back most of our kids who would have been fifth years the year prior, and they were able to kind of have an abbreviated fifth year, even if they weren't necessarily using their fifth year of eligibility. Hockey's another one where most of the guys that graduated this past year, they have another year of eligibility, but they said, you know, like I came in at 20, you know, I'm not going to play hockey here until I'm 27 and then try to start my life. You know, I'm going to go out and play a year pro and then, you know, move on to whatever I need to do. So each sport has its challenges. You know, the double freshman class is significant. You see it in a sport like football where the number of guys that teams had were just a lot. It was a lot. And just I think we're not going to really see it get back to normal for a few years now. It's going to be really interesting to watch.
Yeah, just the progression level too. You could even tell, you know, watching, you know, for the sports I was kind of closely associated with, getting to do the one hockey game, but just some of these athletes from their freshman career, because that should have been their grade 12 year, they're still kind of learning some basics they would have learned in a senior of high school. So it's kind of watching a deer in the ice, kind of slipping around and trying to figure their way to do stuff. For athletes at the UFC, I mean, last year, every single year, there's some tremendous athletes. I mean, the Dinos, I believe I saw a stat yesterday that they are one of the best inputs, if not the most, for imports to the CFL right now for players, if I'm not mistaken. I could have gotten that incorrect. But last year, and, you know, you can kind of talk about everything, but last year, just what a year for athletes, just between having, example, the Philpotts, or got drafted high in the CFL, McKenzie on the women's soccer team, just kind of a little, I guess, talk about some of the athletes that you've been so privileged and some of your favorite athletes to watch the last few years.
I probably can't pick favorites, so I'm getting me in trouble, but
yeah,
we've been lucky. The University of Calgary is, we're doing really great things on so many different levels, right? Last year, only one Canada West championship, but for the few previous years, it seemed like it was 3 to 4, maybe up to 5 or 6 conference championships each year, and then you're contending for a number of national ones. The fall before COVID was phenomenal for us. We sent a team to every single one of our fall teams attended a national championship except for one, which made for a busy year. But yeah, you talk about competing for championships, but not only that, you know, athletes that are on international high performance pathways, whether it be swimming, field hockey out of nowhere, you know, that's a sport that people probably don't think of as putting athletes on the national team. We got someone at the Commonwealth Games who's probably on pace to get their first cap this the next couple of weeks, which is awesome. Athletes on the professional pathway, so whether it be the CFL or guys going over to play hockey, soccer players now going to Australia, we got volleyball players heading overseas. So it is really cool. And I was saying to someone recently this week, what's cool is that once these players move on, they stay connected to the university. There's this awesome alumni base that you don't always get in every pro experience that you could potentially work with. Yeah. We had a couple of hockey lawyers step by my office a couple of weeks ago or a couple of days ago. And just to realize that, you know, you're actually making an impact and that these people appreciate the work you do. It's a special family. Like I've been saying, it's the whole thing is something that's so rewarding to be part of.
Really is. And I think, you know, going into this season is, you know, covering the basketball side, I think the exciting thing for the university and for the league is now knowing that the CELB is going to be looking at these players potentially being in their league, right? That's I don't know how much of an idea we had about that. And, you know, getting to host the playoffs and getting to see a player like Mason Borsier, who's up for Rookie of the Year right now. And we got a chance, unfortunately, the Dinos saw a lot of Mason Borsier in an elimination game for them, but it's really cool now for those athletes. You know, you talked about the field hockey players, and man, do we see them in a lot of highlight packages, because that team was fantastic. So every right to see them get the next level. But it's very exciting now that, you know, if you're a basketball player, that you have that opportunity now coming into the gym.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when some of these domestic leagues were being formed, I think naturally we have this sense of like pessimism, because you can look through the Wikipedias of former Canadian soccer or baseball or basketball leagues and say, Oh yeah, I remember that league lasted a couple of years, and
yeah,
it's been really cool to see both the CPL and CEBL be so successful, gain some really awesome partnerships, media contracts where, you know, they are making appearances on CBC and on other channels, and actually, yeah, you know, being part of a big pathway to creating players that are making the move from U Sports to national teams and beyond.
Very exciting. Just a few more questions. Again, thanks for your time, Lance. Just kind of a pat on the back to the communications team and the media team. I think out of the experience I've had in broadcast now for 10 years, nobody does the social media side for the highlights as good as I think the Dinos do of getting those little highlights. And then the YouTube package after, I think the Dinos do a terrific job. Obviously on the photography side and video side, they lost a very good talent to the Edmonton Elks this year, unfortunately, but well-deserved, but Dinos just do such a good job with getting the highlight packages out every single game.
Yeah, it's a matter of trying to balance our priorities here. There's so many different things we can do, and we're both fortunate and as well as hamstrung by the ability to look over at our rivals south of the border and see all the amazing things that some of these schools do. And, we often try to compare ourselves, and it's tough because some of these teams have crews that support one team the size of the people that we have supporting our entire department. So what we try to do is really try to balance it as much as possible, thinking about how to promote games, but also there's another side of it, from a communication standpoint in college athletics, there's a role we call sports information, which doesn't necessarily make its way into other leagues, like professionally or junior hockey, for example. And I think a big part of the sports information role is being a historian for your team. So, it is really cool to see highlight packs that are maybe vertical B-roll or reels and or TikToks, but there's also a side of it that's that we want to make sure that we're creating content that a couple of years from now, when we want to celebrate people's achievements, that stuff's available too. And that's all part of the highlights and photography that you're talking about.
Yeah, I think the Dinos do a really good job of, number one, having, for a better lack of a term, that NCAA feel, that bigger college atmosphere to it all. Like, it's one of the things when I first stepped into there, I was like, wow, this feels like, being to some NCAA games, it feels like that. You can tell that they're striving to have that big collegiate feel that you want, whether you go to a football game, a hockey game, whatever, you definitely have that feel. And then I think the history too, the Dinos do one of the best jobs I've seen from any Canadian institute of reserving their history and letting you know about their history. Even if it's not just in the video packages, when you walk into the facility and see kind of the past, you have the video of the past Vanier Cup, the Dinos do a really good job of honoring their history that I don't think a lot of colleges do. Some are getting better at it, but I think the Dinos do a particularly good job of respecting that past history.
Yeah, it's something we're continuing to improve on. We're really excited this fall to be relaunching our Hall of Fame. We're going to be re-renovating that physical space we have in kinesiology, and then hosting an event this fall where we're going to have six really awesome inductees, including George Kingston, who's one of the legendary hockey coaches in all of Canada.
And then just kind of on the team side, you've obviously been a part of a lot of fun events, Vanier Cups last year, a great game with the UFA and the UFC last year. Just kind of talk about some of your favorite game moments you've got to witness and be a part of.
I think one of the most exciting events we run is the Crochet Classic, the annual game at the Scotiabank Saddledome, a doubleheader of men's and women's hockey with Mount Royal. To watch that event grow into what it's become, I remember when Ben first mentioned it, the idea that with Mount Royal joining the league, the Flames would love to host something, and wondering how many people would show up to this thing, right? You can go to an average hockey game and it's maybe a couple hundred people, and to see what it's turned into, where 10,000 people show up, and there's massive FOMO if you're not there. It's just this incredible atmosphere. It's as close as you can get to a major college event in the South, and it's such a privilege to be part of. And the best part about the whole thing is that the games have been incredible. The number of times they've gone to double overtime or last minute goals, the event sells itself so well. But beyond that, to be part of some really awesome championships. My first year back, we had three games that I will never forget. First was my first week back, we played, we hosted the Canada West Rugby Championships, and we ended up winning the game on a last second try that the time was over. And basically if the other team had gotten it, they would have kicked it out of the bounds and finished it off. But we were able to just get one in. And that was just to know that I've been away from kind of the game day side of sport for so long, and to experience that right away was surreal. It was only a couple of weeks later that in that same end zone that Nico DeFonte hit that 59-yard field goal. So that's the biggest viral sport experience I've ever had. That was just, hard to explain from a communication social media side. And then that spring, we won our first men's basketball national championship. So my first year back here was just so surreal. And it's what I'll probably compare everything to for now on. But we've had some really cool experiences since then, winning the Vanier Cup after so long was such a special one, knowing that our program had been so close for so many years and finally was able to get over the hump, and to see some of our other programs, whether they're winning championships or not, but see their development and what they're trying to do. It's really cool. It's one of the things that I really enjoy about communications is how you're almost like a journalist, but you're on the inside, so you really get to be so close to how the operation all comes together, and to be part of that is something I really enjoy.
Absolutely. And what can we look forward to now for 22-23?
Well, hopefully a normal season. No interruptions. We're going to see some teams from outside of Alberta. I know we're all excited about that. Talking to some of our teams, they're really excited about the recruits they're bringing in. I think we're going to have some really competitive teams, and just looking forward to getting back to normal and really taking everything to the next level. I know we're really excited about some of the stuff we're working on, and really looking forward to a normal season and all that we are preparing for you.
Well, I'm sure a lot of Dino fans have been counting down the summer to get a chance to see Dino Athletics again. I know I have. Lance, it's always a privilege to get a chance to talk to you, and thanks for sharing everything here today. And until next time, everyone, cheers. Enjoy the day, people.
You're listening to the Fresh Tate Network.